Well, I think we nearly did that intro there without too many noises because we try and do this without editing it. So normally I have Bruce mumbling, but I put him on mute so he can't mumble. So good evening, everybody, and welcome to episode 47 of the Malt Travel podcast. Again, every time I say this, each time we do one, 47. Wow, we're getting close to 50. We'll have to have a bit of a special celebration. Could well be in Stockton Tees, maybe. We'll need more of that. So, again, it's quite different this week because we actually were all sat in several pubs on Saturday together for the first time in quite a while. But we're going to hold on that. We might quickly mention it, but we'll spend a whole episode talking about our little soiree to Cottonopolis, Manchester, and Hatterstown to Stockport. And kind of up and down, we'll say, but not too bad. So, have we recovered, gents? I know you had a bit of an epic journey home involving Dunkin' Donuts in Manchester, Victoria, I understand. Was it, or was it Leeds?
Yeah, the folly of not getting a proper meal on the way. We were tempted by Dunkin' Donuts, then Greg's, missed the train.
At least we fell asleep on the train this time, which is not bad. So I say that was our Saturday soirée, and we had a good day. We had visited, again, quite a few new pubs, certainly Stockport for us. And a nice combination. A little bit sad, though. I've just started writing my blog about kind of visiting dinosaurs, and I think Bruce is disappearing, Nick. But I think our feeling was there might be a couple of pubs we went to on Saturday that might not be there next time we get to Manchester. And particularly, was it the Britain's Protection, which, again, has got big signs up because Heineken are selling it, whatever.
We managed to tick off five of the Camera Heritage pubs, so you would have hoped, once again, if these pubs are being threatened, then Camera would hopefully step in and, you know, persuade the powers that be that if Heineken were just literally wanting to turn it something completely different, then it comes up to this community asset, doesn't it? But there again, I suppose in a city centre, it's difficult to say that you've got a local trade, because that was one thing I noticed in Manchester. I expected everywhere we went to be a lot, lot busier. I mean, I know it's a sort of place that, city-wise, you know, we got there at what, lunchtime, and the streets were very quiet. And then as it got on in the afternoon, it just got busier and busier. See, I suppose living in a place like Malton, you forget that cities only come to life sort of mid-afternoon into early evening, don't they? Whereas opposite in Malton, everybody goes out in the morning, certainly on a Saturday, and then by half past 2, 3 o'clock, Malton is completely dead. So
yeah, although as I said, the train I got on at 10 o'clock in the morning was absolutely ram full of people who were obviously out for a full day's drinking. So they were all drinking on the train. There were gents drinking craft beer, and ladies drinking lots of prosecco. So but it's interesting that Sheffield Hotcast were just having this discussion. I've been listening to just the end of their podcast. They were talking about, like in Sheffield, there's a bit of a split in that there are really ill pubs and certain people like to go into really ill pubs. And then there are the other pubs that do macro, you know, do your Madry, and certain people go into them. And actually, they were saying in Sheffield, there's very few pubs where you can get both, where you can go in and somebody can have a nice craft beer or a cask beer. And then, you know, maybe a couple of mates you're out with don't want that. They want a Madry or a Carling or whatever. So I guess cool, that was the case. Although there were macros in most of the pubs we went into, you can understand that little bit of a, you know, some of those pubs we went into, you know, great for us. They were full of architectural features, but lots of ripped seat covers, weren't they? And, you know, slightly smell of toilet. But anyway, let's leave that because we've still got to crack through part four of our podcast about the town that named the podcast. So again, as we said, it's episode four. We've done the kind of past pubs. We then spent some time talking about a slightly smaller pub called Round Norton, sister town, The last time we did pubs 1 to 6, and in this final stagger, we're going to do pubs 7 to 11. It's been a while since we were last up together. So Nick's been off to the Balearics. So a little bit of feedback maybe from what we was drinking over there. I had several days up in Whitby because it was just before half term, Whit half term, last time we met. So we've got a bit of catch up to do. So we might scratch our heads and go through that. And I say then we're going to do our final, what is it? What's that? 4 or 5 pubs around Malton to finish up our 11 pub crawl. So let's crack on. Beery highlights. So Bruce, you're kicking us off. Again, you've been enjoying some nice evenings out and about in York suburbs with a slightly dodgy looking Taddy Lager there. Looks like one of those
bagpipes
in Middlesbrough.
The line, it's just a big top of the shop. No, one of our favourite places, the brewery taproom at Acaster Malby has reopened for the summer. It was absolutely booming the night we went. Obviously, weather's been kind. It's only open Thursday, 2 till 9:30, and I think about 6 hours on a Saturday. Of course, be straight there from the brewery. And it was absolutely, that pigeon do it justice, really, because we were on the sides, around that was outside seating. And it's next to a vast, vast field. Hard to feel there'd be a bigger field of crops here in Yorkshire. We had quite good other beers, 375. They put some more pumps on for this year. So got more real ale, more craft beers. And a really great innovation. I mean, you know, it's just up to those hours. It just feels like the entire village comes down to it. Well, I should have taken a picture of the bikes because all the people come down from Bishopthorpe and Cotmanthorpe, and there were literally hundreds of cycles there. So we are very lucky to have it, really. And then I think that's
is that the toilet there, Bruce, with the 4 yellow cones around it?
Yeah, do you know? I wonder why it was.
It's probably a fire pit in it.
It was. Yeah, the litter fire is a.
What, with 4 plastic cones around it?
Well, that's just keeping away from it. Well. We sit on it. That's quite a real setting, though, Bruce, doesn't it? I mean, you're all about people that sat on bales, and there's a big round cable drum there that's acting as a table. So,
it is.
That's quite
one
nice.
Night. We'll get you both there. It's quite an experience, really. And I think that lag was actually from nearby Appleton Roebuck. We had a new Sam's Piece pub, though, reopened around here. The pub at Rufford's reopened. And actually, we just found out tonight, I sent Michael a cutting just before we came on tonight. But astonishingly, despite the fact it's got all those pubs closed, Sam Smith's opening the very, very first micro community pub in Nunnington in Teesside. So quite extraordinary that it's got all these pubs that are closed. He's actually opening a new micro pub, which, you know, it's to be really good. I bet the people in the village are absolutely chuffed. But it sounds great, doesn't it, Michael? It's just a converted house.
I guess you're going to say a micro pub. I don't know. I know it's something to do with like the setting, but in it also, you know, micro pubs just sell a couple of beers and. From all over the place, not like a macro brewer like Tabs. Anyway, there we go. Right, Nicholas, you're up next. Now, listen, what are you drinking, Nick? Because you're, I keep forgetting to do this. So, what are you on tonight?
Tonight, Matthew, I am on the Wharf Beer Brewery Yorkshire IPA. Picked this one up in the local Asda when I was going for the price of 3 with a Jaipur. But I did go in to try and get 4 Jaipur, but there's only one left on the shelf. So, it must have been everybody listening to the podcast last time or watching us on YouTube because, when the first time I went and spotted at that price, the shelves were full of Jaipur for the price of 3 at £2 a bottle. But I say, I actually went in with the car because I didn't fancy carrying when I spotted them the first time. But still got a nice selection of 4 Yorkshire beers for £6, which you can't go wrong with.
Very good. Right. Well, in as we're going to talk about the Balearics, I've actually got the... mentioned last time, you can't see the camera, we'll pick it up. This is a bottle of Mallorcan Hoppy Lager that you brought me last time. So it's been in the freezer. Last time it was a bit warm, so I'm going to sample that. We have checked, it is just in date. So I think you quite enjoyed this, didn't you? So it's a bit of a kind of hybrid.
Forget the word lager.
It's smelly.
If you tried that for the first time, you wouldn't really call that a lager, I don't think.
I don't know, I'm just saying it's lager, but it's certainly got some hops in it. Very nice. Right, so talking of lagers, so you went to Mallorca and you were in a hotel at a happy hour, and you were glad to see there was some proper Cruzcampo Especial, and you're whacking them back. And then you realize that they're not 6.5%, are they?
I wasn't pleased because Cruzcampo, once in, is mass produced. So, yeah,
it's still like it. Yeah, it is. But it's still brewed in Spain.
The spirit drinkers were well equipped. They had all the spirits on there, all the named brands. The wine drinkers had the red wine, the rosé wine, the white wine, and their cava. And when Mrs. Manageress came around and said, "Oh, you enjoy the happy hour?" I said, "Well, yeah." I said, "The wine drinkers and the spirit drinkers are, but what about us beer drinkers?" I said, "Craft beer is massive around the world now. You give me one type of beer that is mass produced. Cruz Campo, yeah, it could have been worse, because actually when that ran out, they went onto the bottles of Heineken. But yeah, 5.6%. So there is a rule in, we were actually Magaluf. There is a rule now where you're supposed to only have 6 drinks if you're all inclusive. Well, we were actually all inclusive. We just have an hour, happy hour on what's called the level. So they weren't actually controlling it. So my first full day, I managed to get 7 of those down in an hour, which started to blow up me a little bit. And then it was pointed out that they're actually 5.6%. But yeah, it could have been worse, but it could have been a lot better. So I did suggest to her, I said, "Look," I says, "there's a lovely beer here that's brewed on the island." I said, "It's a traditional brew. It's been going many, many, many years. You should look out for it. You should support local industry and get that in instead of certainly Heineken or whatever else you've been offering." She smiled at me politely, but I don't think she had much of an idea what I was talking about. So there we are.
Very good. And then you came back some proper Yorkshire beer. And again, a new one there, Great Newson Skip. I've not seen that one before. And obviously Schleck Dust. So, okay, well, is that Roy Loke you were in there, Cameron? You said you were then. No, I can't, because they wouldn't have.
No, I think that was up at Rory's, chapter 2.
Oh, chapter 2.
Could it have been? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he, unusual because he had 2 Great Newsons on.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, Schleck Dust is one of my favourite ones anyway. So I hadn't seen the skipper before. So I said, "Right, hit me with the skipper." Yeah, I'm sure that was chapter 2, top of the marketplace. Mm. Used to be called the King's Head for anybody who visited Malton 10 years ago.
I'm going to visit that on our crawl. Now, I had a few little mini adventures. Place that I didn't know about, and I've been to the pub up the road, but down in deepest Staffordshire Moorlands, Cheshire border, is the Winkle Brewery. And we get their beers quite a lot around us. They actually do quite a lot of kind of smaller venues and like wedding venues they do beers for. And this is literally in the middle of nowhere, Very beautiful little river valley. And this, I presume, was a farm. But now they've got a little brewery, a little tap room, and then a very nice seated area overlooking the river. So again, well worth a little trip out. It's kind of just this side of Macclesfield, Congleton, that kind of area. But again, definitely worth a visit. They've got a beer festival coming up. But again, to be in the middle of lovely countryside. As you can see there, fairly impressive kit if you're on YouTube. They've got a brand new brew kit in there. And they were certainly busy ferrying lots of barrels about. So definitely worth a visit if you're ever in that bit of the country.
Never seen that around here.
Yeah, and then as I said, the other one was Whitbeard. So again, I was determined to tick a few new bars and places off. So we were, I'm going to show the picture where we were in a minute, but we managed to get into a pub that we actually haven't been in before, certainly I haven't been in before, which is the Middle Earth Tavern, which is slightly out of town on the kind of old town side of Whitby. But I've got to say, I quite enjoyed it there. A lovely little sitting area at the front there, which was very nice. May was quite a nice month. Well, most months have been nice, haven't they? And they had Copper Dragon on, which was a bit of a plus. Glad to say, didn't actually get in the Quirky Den, because every time I went past it was absolutely heaving. But the Quirky Den is a little micro bar, again, just off the harbour, around the corner from the Green Dragon bottle shop. I didn't get in there either. Had a little trip out the States. I managed to have quite a nice pipe that started running in the Cod and Lobster, which is again a great pub to go to. It was pretty full actually on this day, right literally on the water's edge. Actually had a nice part of Yorkshire Terrier in there, which was interesting. There's a picture of Botham's pork pie for Bruce there, just to kind of get him sense. And we were a bit shocked. Well, I know I had the pork pies on Saturday, but these guys didn't. Had a trip up to the Arching Abbey, which is very, very nice. Went in the the pub across from where we were last time we stayed in it. Is it the Golden Fleece? The beer gardens there. It is the police, isn't it? Yes, it's the police. But again, he's on the other side of the river. Yeah. And again, since we were last in there, they got quite a nice offer this time around. Black Sheep, Whitby IPA, and Wainwright. So quite a nice offer. And again, they have a bit of a hidden gem. If you ever that said it's a bit quieter, that bit of Whitby. And they've got a lovely little beer terrace on the back there that literally sits again on the edge of the river.
Well, there's not much else down there unless you're parked down there. There's a fish and chip shop and that's about it.
And then a new venue was Beer O'Clock, which is, if anybody knows Whitby of old, if you came out of Woolworth's back door, which is now Mountain Warehouse, and there's a slight incline there that takes you kind of up towards the park, Panic Park in Whitby, halfway up the left-hand side, is quite a nice new venue, the Beer O'Clock. Again, they had a really good array of beers on there. You can see there's an Offset, there's a Kirkstall, there's Timmy Taylor's Landlord. I actually went for the White Snake, which is quite nice. Again, typical shop, you know, whatever, redo, fairly basic floorboards, tables. Definitely worth a nice little venue, actually. Very, very nice. Whitby Brewery was on great form, as always. Very busy. In fact, they ran out of pizzas at about 4 o'clock, which is a little bit of a shame. Arch and Abbey was really good. There's a very
Doesn't look in great form in that that pint at Top Row in middle, Mike.
That was the battery acid one that I just had for you, which is their take on a wheat beer to try that.
Grim, doesn't it?
Witherspoons, I've got to say,
I don't know about again, battery acid. It looks like somebody's pissed in your petrol tank.
Witherspoons is on good form, but weirdly quiet. As you can see there, we got the front row seats outside. But again,
Exmoor Gold.
Yeah, if you look at, they always seem to get Exmoor in Whitby Witherspoons. And also they had Cowcatch again, which is a London beer, which again is quite, again in London, it's quite whatever. And again, look at those prices, £3 for a pint of Cowcatcher.
Fantastic, that, isn't it?
I've just been into Rhythm Brews and they were talking about £7 pints of Cowcatcher in London. £3, Exmoor Gold, £3, Hobby Gobby Goblin Gold, £3, Oakham Citra, £3, and Dixon's Old Peculiar, £3. So you can't really go wrong.
I'm not seeing the line up like that at Whitbury
really Spoon good.
For a long, long time, Mike. Yeah. So you just sit it right. I mean, it's nice that they always tend to have some Whitby Brewery beer on. But no, what a cracking line that was. Certainly the Exmoor Gold and the
Oakham Citra.
Oakham Citra there. Two cracking beers. They've got to be my favourite, definitely favourite top 10.
Yeah, no, really good. And then we mentioned this before.
Hello, I'm going very, very slowly.
We'll come back to Guinness probably when our trip to Manchester. But we've talked about, again, I think you mentioned it, Bruce, the Golden Lion in Whitby, which is just over the swing bridge, is reputedly has the best part of Guinness. So we went in there early one evening. Actually met a great guy from Mayo who was working on the mine. He was a mining engineer. He'd just been in Dubai, he'd been to South Africa, but he loved working in Whitby from the potash mine there. And he said the Guinness is fantastic. I've got to say it was. And compared to the Guinness that we had on Saturday, I've got to say, I think I'd go back to Whitby before I went back to Manchester. But anyway, we'll save that for another day. That was cracking. And then just to give you this was the view from our front door where we stopped, which was a pretty nice view. There was on YouTube looking towards the Abbey. So very, very nice. So that was our little beery highlight. I say we've got some more. A couple more then, just again, it's a bit old this now, but I think last time we spoke, we just began talking about, again, Marston's. Obviously, we've talked quite a lot about Marston's. They are still hanging on in Burton. They are still, if you like, the semi, if you like, whatever the word is, well, not independent anymore, but they're hanging on there. They are still brewing in the traditional way. But a few woes now. Carlston, Marston's announced they were going to sell off Ringwood Brewery. And this goes the same way, of course, as Jennings. We've already mentioned they've already flogged off Jennings. So, beer industry woe as Marston's are flogging off Ringwood Brewery. Will be next, Witchwood. Just hope the likes of Old Thumper and Boondoogle do not go the way same way as Jennings Sticklifter. Ringwood was formed, it was younger than I thought, actually, formed in 1978, bought by Marston's in 2013. Only small staff, only 8 staff work at the brewery at the moment. But again, it looks like it's following a similar pattern, doesn't it? That they're just getting rid of them. And again, I don't know if you picked this up. Have I put it on here? Oh, I have, yeah. Again, just linked to Marston's. Roger Protts actually, again, to flag this up, one of the people have noticed that on bottles of Pedigree now, it said the bottle condition bit had suddenly dropped off the labels. So initially it was thought, oh, well, it's just a printing thing. But they're going to, having followed it up, they kind of had to, well, kind of admit they're no longer bottle conditioning Pedigree. which again it feels like another move towards, you know, macro uniformity, doesn't it? So
it does,
a bit of a shame, really. And then in other beery news, I'll go back one. We mentioned Jaipur. Jaipur was 18, and Nick was mentioning them. And again, it was quite nice. They had quite a lot of old tweets of kind of when the brewery was setting up. And again, the brewery put out quite a few kind of, you know, stats. And again, it's quite phenomenal, isn't it? When you, again, for those on YouTube, that is the old brewery, which is actually at Thorn Bridge Hall, which you can still visit. They occasionally, I think, do brew in it, not very often now. And again, it's a long story linked to the Fat Cat in Sheffield. And they began, the guy who bought the hall had loads about buildings, didn't know what to do with them. And again, was persuaded by the Fat Cat bloke to set up a little brewery, which he did. And him and his wife, I think, had been on honeymoon to Jaipur. So that was one of their first beers. They were trying to think of a beer that was going to be unique using the new American kind of hops that were coming in. So they gave birth to Jaipur. And if you read that now, last year, Thornbridge in 2022, Thornbridge sold 3 million pints of Jaipur, 63,000 bottles, 845,000 cans. So it's pretty phenomenal, isn't it? It's just bonkers. And again,
the only problem with Jaipur out is I only really see it when we go out on a session and I don't be drinking it. I'm going to be having 5, 6, or 7 pints.
Yeah, it's not really because it's beer, is it?
It's like another pint and a half, two pints in it. It's just a bit naughty.
And again, I don't think it quite tastes like it did probably 4 or 5 years ago. It's got quite mac. I mean, I know, Nick, when we were there, they were saying that pretty much 60% of what they do now is a Jaipur. Oh, you could see it. They're just cans.
Yeah, I think it's a bit like Landlord in that, you know, when Landlord first came out, it was so different to every other beer. Jaipur, when it first came out, was so different. It's just that strong hot taste and so different to any other real ale that are out there. And yet they've sort of sat back on the laurels a little bit. Other people have come along, copied it, and actually almost tweaked and improved on what Jaipur was. So yeah, I don't know that it's got worse, but I think other things have come along now and actually.
Okay, and then the other news that came out this last week, I know Bruce, you sent me a few of these, Drinkflation, this was all over the national press, I think, last week. We meant this actually, didn't we, mention that the change slightly, the ABV tax that the government's charging. So lots of things in the papers are talking about, you know, what it was Mars bars and it was bags of crisps, and now it's beer. So most of the macros look like they have been reducing, quietly reducing the ABV of their beers. And therefore saving lots of money. So the examples they give in this is the Daily Mail, Spitfire was 4.5. It's now down to 4.2, which is a saving of 3p on tax per bottle. Bishop's Finger was 5.40. It's now 5.20. That's a 2p saving. Bull Speckled Hen used to be 5%. It's now 4.80. And even Foster's, which was 4%, is now down to 3.7%. And that's a whopping £3 per can. Tax saving. So again, that's, you know, gradually lowering the ABV to not really for any health reasons, but simply to pay less tax, but charge the same amount still, which is the point they were making. So like all things, you know, what you're getting isn't as good as you used to get, but you're paying a lot more for it. So there we go. So a bit of bad news. We'll catch up again next time. I think there's lots of things going on in the beery world at the moment. So we are on our tour. We've mentioned that, again, we set up this tour, so if you arrive in Morton on either the coastliner or on the train, you actually arrive in Norton, and then you work your way up. So the last time we did our little tour from Brasscastle to the New Globe, up to the Rose and Crown, up to the Cross Keys, up to the Blue Ball.
Sadly, now closed.
And we finished at the Spotted Cow. Yeah, so since those episodes, we've heard that the Blue Ball is probably closed. There are some rumours about
the Cross Keys.
Right, and the Rose and Crown, again, we understand, potentially again could be closed as well. There's certainly been lots of Twitter news. They did come back and said they weren't closing, but I think they did say they were kind of something like they were reflecting on business. So I don't know what that means. Again, unfortunately, that at least one pub on that has closed. So we're kind of halfway around our tour. So we finished overlooking Morton Still, Town Centre Cattle Market, one of the very few left in the country. Now, I think New Toxton might be the only place that's still got a cattle market in the middle of the town. And if you carry on walking past the cattle market through quite a posh street, you end up at our next venue, which is pub number 7, which is, again, a pub of our youth, and that is the Mount Hotel, which has gone through a few different kind of variations over the last few years. Certainly when we were just coming of age, it was probably the place where most 18, 19-year-olds went on a Friday night, definitely, and probably made a lot of money out of it. And Brian was the landlord at the time, a bit of a wise guy, a bit of a money-making bloke. He also
rigor mortis. Brian rigor mortis.
So this is quite an imposing building as you come in on the main road. It happens at the Talbot Hotel, which again is one of the kind of prestigious buildings in Malton. I think, again, it was a private residence and a hunting lodge and various other things. I don't know how many rooms it got, Bruce. You got about 12 rooms, something like that, upstairs.
Oh, yeah, possibly more than that.
Yeah.
I remember there was always trouble in there. I remember the Gazette reporting one day that he got caught up in a fight, and it said Brian Mortis is possibly Malton's most laid back landlord, but he's certainly the most laid out landlord.
And once again, do you remember they used to have a fish tank behind the bar?
Yeah, they did.
What was it about having fish tanks in pubs once upon a time? You can't think of a worse environment for poor fish to be in, because you know, you get like in the gate. It was right there in the middle of the main bar area. So people were forever smacking on their glass and tapping on it. And in fact, the one in the mouth, I remember somebody we all know, but I won't name them, launched a pint behind the bar.
Huh. So this is, it's an imposing building. It's a fairly long, thin bar at one end. There is a restaurant at the far, a dining room at the far end. Used to have discos in there quite a lot. And it's also got used to be called the Stables Bar when we were a bit younger. Then became a German beer keller. And I think now it's Will's Bar, which is quite a smaller bar, really. Quite a nice little seating area at the side there that overlooks the mirror into Malton. The picture on the left there for those in YouTube is the rather, I don't know really, it's a bit of a sad kind of bar. And that looks, it's a lovely building in York stone. And the inside of it is a little bit strange and strange colours. And that's not brick, it's wallpaper, isn't it? Which is quite startling when you go in there. There was a lovely brick fireplace there, and the fireplace is still there. But then for some reason, they've covered it in brick wallpaper. But anyway, they normally have at least two casks on heat in here. It's certainly landlord when I've been in a couple of times. They used to have Tetley Bitter or whatever version of Tetley Bitter there's available now. So I don't know. Have you been in recently, Nick? I don't know what they have in.
I was in it about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
We did have a couple of real ales on, as well as Tetley's and John Smith's and stuff. But we did have a couple of real ales on. Very busy it was, I have to say.
You always get people sat outside, don't you? It's one of those
things.
And then we keep losing Nick. Is he back again? No. I think it's one of those pubs where a lot of people call in the way home from work. There's always lots of white vans in the car park.
Yeah.
And lads having a drink on the terrace. Right, Nick, you've got your back.
I'm coming back again.
Completely.
Yeah.
You need to rely on the next door's Wi-Fi, Nick, and then you might be all right. Right, so we've left the man. We're just saying, Nick, we think there's always normally two casks on. I haven't been in there for a while. Bruce has been in there about 6 months ago. It's normally pretty steady.
Yeah.
I don't know what the beer offer is. Anyway, if you walk down the road, past the Talbot on your right, past the Talbot Yard, with its world-famous Poirot, what are them French things called?
Macaroons.
And the Wild Bird is still
Groovy Moo.
And the Groovy Moo and the very expensive
ice cream. Very good.
Ice cream. And you turn then up the little road there. You go past Macmillan's, where you could probably get a pint of, well, you won't get a pint, but you could get a beer in there if you wanted to. And you
come Market Street.
The very impressive Market Square with the church up in front of you. And on the left, you'll go past St. Green Mount, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And about halfway along the, across from the old bull ring, is Chapter 2. And as Nick said, was the King's Head.
It should have always been the King's Head, really, shouldn't it?
It used to be covered in ivy, didn't it? The King's Head. It did. Ivy outside of it. Yeah. So anyway, it's now again a local lad, Rory, who used to play rugby with many moons ago, who's had a number of establishments in the town, shall we say. But he seems to be doing okay here. This is interesting pub because it's got a farmer's bar around the back where, again, because it backs onto the marketplace, it was always a place where you could get a very early and a very late beer. Again, normally the back bar. As you can see there, it's a very old coaching inn. It's got the coaching arch. And again, for those on YouTube, there is a picture there of Malton in more ancient times. And it claims that this is the 16th century. Most of the building is birthed back the 16th century. So nice pub. Always got a couple of decent beers on. Some nice little seats out the front there, which I know me and Nick quite like. There's a little bit of a beer. It's not a beer garden, it's a beer yard, isn't it? Around the back, which is quite nice, quite cozy. Always very busy around the back there as well. They do a lot of coffees and lunches, don't they? So it's often busy with the kind of the ladies who come in the shop.
That's obviously Rory's background. He was a chef, yeah. So
yeah, still is a chef. It's worth going into. And Nick, they normally have a great Newson beer on, often have Copper Pippin on.
Copper Dragon
Pippin. But normally, like you say, a couple of decent Yorkshire local beers on, don't they?
Yeah. And again, no, I like to sit out there on a early Saturday evening and just, you know, you've got a good vantage point over the rest of the marketplace, watching the tourists coming in who can park in the marketplace for free and then don't realise that the road out front is a one-way road. You often get coming down the wrong way. About 4:20 now, I think, is at, okay. Which is... Yeah. Not the cheapest in town, but it's compared to even where we've just been in Manchester Stockport, it's the norm now, isn't it?
Yeah,
over £4 a pint.
So again, you could do a mini tour around the marketplace because there's at least two or three good decent drinks now. As we said in episode 44, there used to be a lot more pubs around the marketplace. The next one is, again, I'll mention quite a few times for Nick's regulars. This is the old Butter Market, the old Market Hall, the old Town Museum. Again, it's been through various phases. It was empty for a very, very long time. It then got taken over by Stew and Oyster and was had a short life as Stew and Oyster. And then has been taken more recently over by White Rat as part of the Ossett kind of offer. And again...
Well, salt.
Fun to take salt. Over the world, aren't they, Ossett?
Salt. Yeah,
normally a good range of beers, both cask, normally at least, what, two or three casks on normally, and then...
At least three, and then all their salt as well, salt craft.
As you say, it's become a little bit of a kind of a focus point on a Friday Saturday night for Moulton's 20s, 30-year-olds, so it can be a little bit rough. It's probably the only pub now that has a bouncers on in Moulton, and they're normally music on. They do food, pizzas in the week, so it's Pizza on the Square, which is now an official title. But again, if you can sit outside, you normally have seats, again, towards the right-hand side there. Quite a nice place. And Nick, you often, again, sit outside on the
I always sit outside.
Well, there's your pipe there, isn't there, that you sat outside.
Even in winter. Yeah.
So, again, worth popping in. Again, good range of salt, Ossett and rat beers in there. So there's normally something, again, we can normally choose something out with that we like. Again, not cheap, but not bad. A cask beer.
Camera discount, though. You get 10% off. Produce your camera card and you can get a beer for less than £4. So it is one of the cheaper places in town now if you produce your camera membership card.
Now, some debate whether the Conservative Club is still open in Moulton, because again, if you were stood outside that window there, look down, the Conservative Club is in front of you. Some bits of leaflets and what clubs say it is open, but it just doesn't look very open.
Definitely closed. So it's another storeroom for the Fitzwilliam Estate. There's got a lot of stuff stored in there. Just like they use the Golden Lion as a storeroom now.
So
the expensive choice, bloody storerooms.
Get there in a minute. The next choice of pub is one of the Royal Oaks of Moulton. As I mentioned, there were at one point three Royal Oaks in the area. Now there are just two. And this is the one that's in the centre of Moulton. Again, has been through various different things. This was a Tetley's pub on it back in the day when we were drinking there, was it? So again, a pub we used to go in quite a lot. It's probably, I wouldn't say the roughest pub, that's not fair really, but it's that, you know, that it's more of a locals pub. There'll be loud music playing, there's a jukebox, there's a pool table. Most people here will be drinking macro lager. But again, they do normally have a couple of hand pumps on. And certainly when they first reopened a while ago, they were trying to push that. But it's a no-nonsense northern pub, isn't it, basically, the Royal Oak. Not particularly inside. It's nothing, not to shout about, really. It's just a typical old-fashioned
business. Well, they've got pool table, darts table. They show the sport on television. I think the situation with it is the younger generations, if they're under misconception, oh, yeah, let's go to Moulton for a night out, they tend to migrate there if they're not local, because that's the only place in the marketplace that looks to be any life in it. And they often have music on. Don't know if they have karaoke, but they've always got the music turned up a bit and the doors are open. So naturally, folks walking at the marketplace think, oh, there's a pub there with a load of music coming out. Oh, look, they've got a pool table, they've got a dartboard. So that's why it tends to get younger folks in, and younger folks from not around town, which is why you could say it's a bit rougher, because you've got strangers in there. You know, I'm sure that if you were just walking in there during the day for a beer, then you'd be welcome with open arms.
Yeah, I've been there. Well, I was going to suggest that. If you're in Moulton in the afternoon, it's great. In the afternoon, it's fine. And I say, they normally have a couple of decent beers on. And even early evenings, it's probably fairly quiet. 9 o'clock, it'll be quite loud, wouldn't it?
They've had Castle Rock beers on.
Last time I was in there, they had Castle Rock on. And I think a York Brewery beer as well. So you've back some brewed York Brewery beer. But there we go. And then, again, just a couple of doors down from that is Omni. Now, we would have been talking probably about the new Moulton, which used to be a bit further on the corner. But they seem to move Lock, Stock and Barrel now into Omni. Omni, again, was this a chemist in many, not that long ago?
Yeah, Beecham's Pharmacy.
Yeah, so it's...
Beecham's are still there. It has been a long time ago. But
Dylan Jackson's electrical shop?
Yeah,
but before Ant and Gemma got it, then it was another cocktail winey type place.
Yeah.
So it's been selling beverage, I would say, for at least 6 to 10 years. So it's not a new macro type bar pub type place. And obviously they've gone upstairs as well. It's a bit deceptive because they've gone upstairs, and Ant and Gemma obviously came from the new Moulton. They built their reputation in town with the food, but also the fact that Gemma certainly likes to have a real ales on there. And that's something she's carried over to Omni. So they have 4 hand pumps. I think they're, to set the business up, I think Green King have this facility now whereby they can help people have their own bar. So there is a little bit of a Green King influence in there. You know,
they call it the high
homemade pub company or something like that. But it's financed, it's backed by Green King. So you'll see like they've got, I think it's Belhaven Stout on in there instead of Guinness, because Ant said to sell the Guinness, he would have to sell it for like £6 a pint. So they've got Belhaven Stout, and I said, well, how the hell do you get a Scottish Stout? But that's part of Green King's stable. And then they add something else on as well, which I'm saying that's quite unusual, but it's actually Green King behind it. And as I say, Gemma now knows that I hate Green King's pint glasses because they're a cross between a tulip and a straight glass, and they're more like a bloody flower vase. And I hate the things, you know, how I like my merchandise and my brewery, and those squat IPA Green King glasses that are almost as bad as those Camden plant pots, if you know what I mean. They don't look like a pint, they are, but they're like bloody great big like wide plant pot things. Hate them. So there's always 4 beers on there. But once again, Gemma knows how to keep a decent pint. If there's ever an issue in there, she's not one of these people that say there's nothing wrong with it, get it soaked. Price-wise, once again, about in line with everything else in there. So between, I think, 4 or 4.20 a beer. But yeah, nice place to go kick back. Very much of a mixed clientele in there. A lot of local people, a lot of regulars going there. It is the place to be seen as well. Obviously, there's a lot of money moved into Moulton over the last few days, whether it be COVID or people with second homes. And so you tend to see those people coming and going. Once again, I tend to sit outside, although it's not showing the photograph. They do have a row of tables and chairs outside now. I tend to sit outside so I can see who's coming, who's going. And I certainly notice the accents going from broad Yorkshire to sort of that non-local accent type, if you know what I mean, whatever they call it, not so much the Queen's English, but the whole sort of population in town is changing, but certainly getting there for a decent beer. Food, a little bit unusual. They call what's called Yorkshire tapas. So once again, you know, as I mentioned before, Gemma and Ant built their reputation in town through having a more traditional pub first and foremost. Ante's a chef. He certainly knows what he's doing. His food is spot on. But don't go there expecting to get roast beef and Yorkshire pudding and steak pie and all those traditional English sort of meals. It's what they call Yorkshire tapas. But yeah, definitely if you're in Moulton, then bob into Omni.
So that is our 11 beers, our 11 pints all done. Did ask this question last time. I don't think I've changed. So I think last time I still felt that Brass Castle Tap would be my choice of the 11 pubs. Nick, yours was also Brass Castle, I think, was your choice. Bruce, I think you, did you say Spotted Cow or Blue Ball? Can we said last?
Yeah, Spotted Cow, I think, as it was.
As its atmosphere, yeah. So again, any of these five pubs change your mind, or would you stick with that as your choice?
No, I'd stick with the choice, yeah. It's none of those change
mind. Yeah, I mean, I can't really pick out, are you choosing it for the beer, or are you choosing it for the actual interiors? And I'm afraid all the choices that I'm going for now is more towards the beer because, yeah, I mean, like you say, Mike, the Pizza on the Square in the centre of Moulton is a historically unique building, but I don't tend to sit inside it because there's not a lot of history going on inside anymore, and it's certainly not a traditional pub because it never was a pub until sort of like 5 years ago. So in terms of a traditional pub to sit in, I suppose we would always migrate back to certainly the Cross Keys was, which is why I like to try and keep going in there. And I suppose the Rose and Crown is as well, you know, changed from what we remember it for 20 odd years when we used to drink in there. But no, I would be saying that I'm choosing venues now more for the beer rather than for the historical buildings and the interiors.
So that's our pub call. So what we need to do, as I mentioned last time, is we've still got all Moulton to do, so we're not over yet. So 4 episodes, we've done 3 pubs in Norton, 11 pubs in Moulton, and then I think we covered about, I don't know, 20-odd pubs in the first series where we looked at kind of pubs of the past. So we've still got, what have we got? We've got technically 3 pubs. We've got the Lodge, we've got the Moulton Royal Oak, Old Moulton Royal Oak and Kitchen, and we've got the Wentworth Arms, which are in Old Moulton. And then we did suggest we might also have a quick think about some of the villages. So what we've got, the Blacksmiths in Westow and in Swinton. We've got the Kirkham Abbey.
Smithy,
we've got the Kirkham Abbey.
Is probably North Grimston still open?
That's shut, isn't it, North Grimston? Yeah. I read recently. We've got possibly Cam and Cheese at Skagglepop.
Up for lease, that's a problem. You know, it would be cracking if it was a freehold, but no, it's a lease board there. Because then you could do bed and breakfast in there. You know, you could put a lot of effort and a lot of work into it. But whilst you're paying a landlord and then paying all your business rates and bills as well, it's like nobody's going to take it on, are they?
Yeah, no.
So I think if we maybe stick it to the, I don't know, we've got Rillington and we've got Slingsby. We've got...
Grapes at Slingsby.
Whitwell. Well, not Whitwell. What's the other one? Where's the Crown and Cushion?
Wellburn.
And Kirkham. So we've got that kind of rotation there. So we might put that together. But so I think the one we'll do next, though, is we'll just give you a flashback on our trip to Manchester and Stockport. We did do some recording. Unfortunately, I can only find one of the recordings that we did. I said it was a very, very bloody hot day. So I did manage to capture one recording. I think we did a couple. I'll keep looking to see if I can find them, but for whatever reason, I can only find one. But I say it was a fairly hot day. I think we all agreed that doing a pub crawling, what was it, 32 degrees heat is maybe not the best, especially on warm trains.
The pubs like to do it, didn't they?
And the pubs
I have
we were going
to say
to
that all the beers, all the beers that I had on that day, I can't think of one that wasn't good, it's badly served or it tastes rotten. So I think for a beer trip in that respect, it was successful. And we had everything from small little microbreweries up to, you know, the nationals. Forgetting the Guinness that we had, you know, I mean, Robinson's, we had a couple of pints of Robinson's, and I've always liked Robinson's. I don't mind Robinson's. Yeah. And those were both good. And, you know, then we had quite a few different breweries as well.
Those Robinson's we were drinking, they're kind of new out there. They're kind of hit range. The Citra Pale Ale, you guys, I had the Hot Nick. And again, I thought on the way back, I was reading that, again, Robinson's are doing that. You know, yes, the traditional brewery. I mean, I suppose they've always been a bit more like that. I mean, you know, with Trooper, the Iron Maiden beer they did, and Dizzy Blonde, Unicorn, we had a pint of that. But you guys on the Citra. And again, you know, the highlight is when we went to the Arden Arms, where we managed to
get I had a blonde in there.
The so. Secret snug.
That was cool, wasn't it?
Which was quite interesting.
And in fact, I was reading that, in fact, it's the same landlord, the guy who runs the Swan with Two Necks, has the Arden Arms as well.
They were quite similar. So that'll be next episode. So say we had an enjoyable day there. Oh, so we did just, I've mentioned this really, but just to say, there are probably a couple of other places in Malta you could get a drink. So the new Derwent is a fairly new bistro, which is recently opened. You would get a pint in the Talbot, although it costs you probably £18, and you'd probably get sneered at. There is, I mentioned, the Rare Bird Distillery. They do sell beers, and I think Red Willow beers, they often happen there from Cheshire. And in fact, the King and the Queen were in Malton not so long ago, and they ventured there. Didn't go for a pint in Sotheby's, though. Sorry, Rose and Crown. And Macmillan's, which is the whiskey shop, apparently, they also, you can imagine that, oh, I've heard about this. Was it called Sotheby's? Get out!
Get out!
that's right. That did, you need to look at, you're not on Twitter, but if you look at their Twitter feed, they did mention that. They did make a point that they were not, they weren't banning people. However, they were just wanting people to recognise there's any change of business. But there we go. So there's. Do you know that's the largest brick structure in Europe? I learned on my way back from Stockport. The wonderful. We went over that a few times on Saturday.
And there's supposed to be a pub in the arches, is it the Alexandra?
I think it's that one there. You can see with the white chimneys, which again we were planning to go to. But I say it was that bloody warm, I think, and we kind of, like you say, we needed a bit of refueling. So we managed.
Sorry, you fat lads that were sweating.
I don't know, you were shoveling down that bacon and sausage butty.
With a catering sausage.
So episode 48 next, we'll probably just move that around and say we'll do a little soiree of that. And I say we're planning the next possible meetup might be in Stockton. Although we might not have a lot of time for drink because we're going to see Lindisfarne playing on it, you're working. So I certainly will get there a little bit earlier. I don't know what Bruce is doing yet. He needs to get a ticket if he can.
Yes, what day is it?
It's the 15th of July. Is that the Saturday? Is that either the 14th or 15th? 15th, I think it is.
Well, I'm thinking, Bruce, even though it was my nephew that bought me that ticket, I'm thinking so you guys can make a day of it. Whether I give you my ticket, then it's all sorted, isn't it?
Like, there must be some way you can get there.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it later, but anyway, right, there we are.
No worries. Right, so good evening, guys. We'll catch up again in a couple of weeks' time. So cheers for now.
See you later.
Goodbye.
Oh, that's a bit quick.
Stop then.